Oh, indeed, you're finer for having passed this way. Because I'm not an easy teacher. I hate easy. It's a sick word. It reminds me of lazy. And those are choices. Those are choices. You can be easy and lazy and wait and allow somebody else. But there will come that day when you confront self. And you make that passage, because when you're locked into the limitations of the human existence, you will get to that day. You will not be immortal until you learn the value and the reality of immortality. So you're not going to just get to be 120 and then go on to 2001 in vital form with the same old attitude and lack of responsibility. Yes, someone has to step forward and do it in the beginning. But nobody else can step forward for you. And there does come that day of confrontation. God doesn't judge you. And that little soul will have to make its choice. And probably, in most instances, go into the gray area. Hell is the total absence of God. Oh, well, but God never leaves you. Oh, yes, He does. If you choose hell, that's the absence of God, people. That's darkness. That is the void. And from the depths of hell, it's very hard to pull yourself back up enough to even get in the gray area. So you have to know, somebody has to inform you that you're mistrained. You're living the lie. You don't go from the black void of a hell to the right hand of God in total light. It would kill you. And somewhere there in between, the hosts of God and you guides and you teachers that have come back here as messengers in this human form are stuck with it. And it doesn't mean you're lesser if you can't hack it. Some will drop away because they've served their purpose. They have been the lesson bearers. So don't just say, well, that one is bad and I want him out of my life and he's going to hell. Don't judge. He may be a robotic being put there for your lessons and you appreciate it. Because that is called love. You don't know what love means anymore. Love is not just allowing someone to do their duty all over you. That is lack of respect for God. So you see, Carol Pfaff from South Africa apologized to me for having the wrong interpretation of asking God to be with us. And I said, God is within us. And I must always ask for God to be within me, that my light can shine out far enough for the world to see. And if you allow your God light to shine out far enough for the world to see, pretty soon this planet's going to glow. But many of the masses will be lost because their little souls cannot come up high enough. But they're not punished for that. They simply dwell in the gray zone until they can recycle and learn, or wherever they are, they grow. That is the meaning of life. to experience and to make those choices that bring you once again into perfection with Creator, so that you become co-creator. And part of my responsibility is to teach a few of you that you can create. And I believe that some of you are actually beginning to realize, my God, we've done it. It's from the impossible to so big we cannot even comprehend it, but we did it. We did it. And still you've got to figure out how to get it. So you can't toss me out yet.
No. We could try.
Insurance, huh?
Insurance. Metropolitan life.
Job security.
That's why Lloyd's was contacted.
They're really in trouble. Do you realize what you've got? You have them. There's not a good night's sleep among them. And they're saying, those are nobody. No matter, we can't even pin anything on them. They are nobody. And they've destroyed us. You see, they don't say. This is all in perception. This is a good lesson in perspective and perception. They say you've ruined the world. Well, here's to ruin. It's a nice world. And they don't deserve to have it. Because they mistreat it and they destroy. And it's not all right to destroy the magnificent creations of Creator and co-creator. You see, when they destroy this world, they destroy our dream, our creation, our world. And we've never understood that you don't get it back with a gun. You don't buy it back. But it does take power. And you step out there with the power of the light of God, and nothing can stand against you. It just seems like it, because you keep getting faint of heart, and ego steps in, and I'm not worthy, I'm not this important, I cannot do this, I cannot do this. I had to put up with this morning. There were disagreements. Dorma needed to write. Visitors came. She tried to go write. And finally, she sat down to the computer, and I had to let her go. It could not settle down enough. And I usually have some pretty good messages to bring. I would have taken the time just to write to her. But it's that time of making passage where we cannot take time in a perceived time limited world. And I am limited to your limitations because that's the way the game is being played. And I loved it. A beautiful South African said, well, I just don't know where I fit. Am I just a pawn in this chess game? Or what am I? Well, he's talking to three people who don't play chess. How do you tell him he's the king? You don't tell him he's the queen. That's not suitable, not for that bunch. So Rick says, well, let's call you the bishop. But nobody knew what the bishop does either. So do you see, it's all perception. And they are blown away by the ones over here who say, God, we don't know anything. Why are they asking us? Because you do know. Because here is where it has to be. This is where it could come from. And yet it breaks your heart, doesn't it, to realize that its fruition has to be away from you. But that's a test of men also. Can you allow it to be away from you? But let me tell you, the connections that you have, and O.J. Simpson, not the least of them, precious ones, you want that black community on your side. You want those Asians on your side. When they come in to take over a town, I told you once that those journals on your table would save your life. I meant it. If there are massive riots and you are on Mr. Farrakhan's side, I don't think the blacks will slaughter you. And I have to think about it. And you should. It doesn't mean that you become anything different. It means that that's the world in which you live and have to exist. And we must get a remnant that is capable of easing through some way, if it comes to that. If we can act and turn this insanity around, which is totally now within the realm of possibility, there's no reason you march to the Zionist drummers, to Satan's drummers, into Armageddon and apocalypse. There have been changes in the world since the onset of the world. That is the way worlds change. There is so much to dream about and dance about and learn about and experience in the cosmos. Why do you lock yourself to the gray, even if it's on a beautiful, beautiful planet? You can reclaim this into the Garden of Eden, into the perfection that it ought to be. And then you become the parallel planet, and the gray energies pass on into their own environment. We can have a higher society, a higher level of experience, still in the physical, but attached to the etheric. There always comes the graduation time. There always comes, everywhere, in every experience, in every dimension, the moving on. And moving out of that which does not work, that which destroys, and into the realization of consciousness that allows you consciousness of a state of being higher and beyond and above the mundane experience of the physical sensing world, who looks for luxury and becomes the parasite upon the very gifted being of a planet, a living being. You're like fleas. And the dog will shake you off. Your mother will do the sorting, and the destroyers will be put down. Pray that you're not counted among the destroyers. We can't afford to lose this round. You asked, God promised He would give you enough to do it. If you would seize the moment and recognize the opportunity, you have it. Let's recognize it and let's seize it. But let's leave our people alive. It's a time of responsibility. And yet it's a time of being patient so that the adversary doesn't have all of the plan. That's the problem we've had. We tried to share, and it's taken right back to the adversary. They can put this thing into receivership here. My impulse is to say, so what? But it isn't so what, is it? That's part of this life experience. What will you do about it? How is it that it has come to this, that absolute thieves and liars can control your very judicial system on a lie? Well, it makes you have to dig, doesn't it? It makes you go into your creative resources of mind to handle it in wisdom. And we have. They will fall, you know. Because houses built on deceit fall. Always. Always. But one of these days you're going to learn to stop helping them. You're going to have to take a stand. And that means you stop helping them. You stop condoning it. You stop saying, oh, well, hi, how are you doing? You stop aiding and abetting your own adversary. These people want all of your assets. It's not all right. Don't you understand? It's not all right. It is on a local, individual level here that is no different than what is happening in your nation and your world. It is not all right for these evil beings to take your property and your lives and your souls just because they want it. These are the lessons we have to understand, start in the home, with the child, with the babe. And it's hard because you're turning in the opposite direction from what you've been trained to do and trained to believe and trained to take and accept and allow. And then we can get back to the New Age trashing. Immorality is not all right. And just allowing everybody to be at someone else's expense is not all right. It is wrong. It doesn't mean that you go out and beat them up. But it doesn't mean you sanction or condone it. And yet, if it is not your business, stay out of it. And that is usually involving personal relationships. You have no right to judge another person. But you certainly do have a right to judge the actions when they are thieving from you. And if you just say, oh, go ahead and take it, then you've made a gift of it. God says every man, individual, shall stand responsible for his actions. If someone steals from you, his actions merit that you get it back. Or he suffers the consequences of his actions. And if you do this and you teach a child these same traits and pretend it's all right, for whatever reason you conjure, you have doubled your jeopardy. You have two things to plead forgiveness for. Because as a parent, you bear half the responsibility of what that child does. And yet once a child has reached maturity, cut it out, you suckers who feel you did it. That's the cop-out of the age. I had a bad childhood. Someone abused me. So I'm going to go and abuse everyone, take everything, and I deserve it. And I'm sorry. for the blacks of the world who have been so put upon, I listen not to that excuse. I've been so abused, you owe it to me. No. Maybe the Khazarians owe it to you. We do not. We work equally, side by side by side with you. Your need is not my demand. That's not the system. If you need, I will share everything I have. That is goodness and charity. And I will help you so that we can then again walk side by side by side. Nobody gets on a pedestal, and no knee bending to the east. Get up off your knees and your ass and get busy. That's the way things get done. And God has gifted you with something that you don't seem to understand. In the reasoning mind and the ability to choose, the ultimate gift, if you use these things, all other things are added unto you, and that puts you into the ability to have and dream as long as it's toward goodness and light, to create anything you choose. And therefore I choose to create freedom and abundance and be able to walk with my brothers in a renewed land where I don't have to be afraid of another's greed. And as long as we can hold that goal, we will accomplish that goal. Because if you have a goal within God, the call itself compels the answer. And the answer will always be, if you are observant, you will hear the knock and you will see the opportunity. But it doesn't come from unenlightenment to enlightenment. You have been at this for almost a decade of heavy, heavy, hard-hitting, miserable lessons. And yet now you can take a corporation in Nevada to Johannesburg, South Africa, and make it work in 2 days. And if you hadn't gone through these lessons, you would have said it can't be done. There's no point in talking about it. You only reach out there and take that step when you feel you can accomplish the step. And if you know you can accomplish the step, there's no hesitancy. You just step out there because I know how to do it, you will say. And if enough of you know how to do something toward the reclamation, and you say, I'll do that. And in the beginning, many have to know so much more, simply because someone has to be the impetus to give the push. Well, I'm a shove if I have to. Just don't confuse the shovel. And that's what happens. And when ones fall away, oh, well, it's those awful echoes. No, it was Commander shoving. And it's Commander they really want to get. Now can we have cake?
Let's get a cake master.
Let's take a break. And then we'll come back and watch with Clay's, and then we'll ask a little bit of input from Gary. So let's not take a long break. We want to see this tape. I especially want him to see the Zapruder film and the charge detonation, because it's broken down and you can see we've been right all along. So thank you. Let's take a break.
Castle Hill Country, 8 miles north of Elberton, and proclaims a message for the conservation of mankind. Its origins and sponsors are unknown, hence the mystery. Challenging project. The components were manufactured from Elberton Granite Finishing Corporation's Pyramid Blue Granite, and the firm's president, Joe H. Findlay Sr., said the project was one of the most challenging ever for his quarrying and monument manufacturing concern, partly because of the magnitude of the materials and partly because of the exacting specifications from the mysterious group of sponsors. And those specifications were so precise that they had to be compiled by experts on stone as well as construction, said Findlay. He said it all began late on a Friday afternoon in June when a well-dressed and articulate man walked into his offices on the Tate Street extension in Elberton and wanted to know the cost of building a large monument to conservation. He identified himself only as Mr. Christian. He told Findlay, that he represented a small group of loyal Americans living outside Georgia who wished to remain anonymous forever, and that he chose the name Christian because he was a Christian. He inquired where Findlay banked, and Joe put him in touch with both local banks. Wyatt C. Martin, president of the Granite City Bank, was selected by Mr. Christian to be the intermediary for the mysterious project. According to Martin, the man showed up at his office 30 minutes later, explained the project, and said after completion he hoped other conservation-minded groups would erect even more stones in an outer ring and carry the monument's message in more languages. He told Martin that he wanted the monument erected in a remote area away from the main tourist centers. The gentleman also said that Georgia was selected because of the availability of excellent granite, generally mild climate, and the fact that his great-grandmother was a native Georgian. Elbert County chosen. Martin persuaded the mystery man that Elbert County was the ideal location for the memorial, and he agreed, provided a suitable location could be found. He returned later, and he and Martin inspected sites. Mr. Christian, who now called himself R.C. Christian, chose a 5-acre plot on the farm of contractor Wayne Mullenix. It is the highest point in Elbert County. A few weeks later, Martin contacted Joe Findlay and told him that funds for the project were in an escrow account and to start work immediately. Martin promised that when the project was completed, he would deliver his file on the affair to the anonymous sponsors and that the secret would never be known. He said Christian told him that the sponsors had planned the monument for years and that the 10 guides for the conservation of mankind and the earth were carefully worded as a moralistic appeal to all peoples, regardless of nationality, religion, or politics. As explained in the photo essay in the following pages, or the film that we're watching, the guides are briefed maxims espousing population control and other conservation messages in 8 languages. The guides are inscribed in 8 different languages on 4 huge stones set in a paddle wheel arrangement, with the center stone carved and drilled so that the sun will mark the time of day and the seasons. The guides, which were accompanied by 10 explanatory precepts in the specifications, are: maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity, unite humanity with a living new language, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court, avoid petty laws and useless officials, balance personal rights with social duties, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite, and be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.